Welcome back to IndyCan Radio, your front row seat and backstage pass of Canada's great emerging music. We have from the Hayden Neal Tribute Show, Mega Music Toronto's Mary. We have from Audio Blood, Sorry. And in the house, we have Gabby. Say hi, Gabby.
Hi there. Let's get on with the music. And coming right up, we have The Balconies.
Right on.
But I never had easy on yourself. There is always a first step. Listen to yourself. There is always a first step. Take it easy on yourself. There is always a first step. Listen to yourself. There is always a first time. 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 There is always a first time.
We just listened to two songs you picked. Caledonia, The Plague. How come that one?
I think it's a really catchy tune. Makes me want to bob my head, tap my feet, and dance along.
Did you the first time you heard it?
I did. I was at the Bread and Circus.
Yeah.
I believe it was during CMW, perhaps?
North by Northeast. I think the weather was better.
Yeah, probably North by Northeast then. And I was in the very, very packed room, bobbing my head, tapping my feet, and dancing along.
It's a great, great, great song. And they were in town recently, and I missed them, got a text message too late, but that just happens. And before that, Jets Overhead. You picked a song of theirs called Always a First Time. What was it about the cadence of that song that got you?
Well, I just think it stands out. I mean, we were sitting here listening to a bunch of different songs, and I was busy typing away and working away, and it just stood out to me. It popped out. I've always loved Jets Overhead, and I can't even really specify. It's just, you know a good song when you know a good song.
For sure. And their producer, Neil Osborne, might have had, just the way that starts, it has kind of a David Bowie Station to Station kind of start to it. That's something, that'll be your homework assignment. You have to find that on YouTube, okay?
All right, I'm pretty good with YouTube. I think I can do it.
Okay, and let's see. We've got something that's sort of brand new to us from the Winnipeg area. On deck, I still got Mary from Mega Music Toronto is going to be talking to us about the tribute for Hayden Neal of Jack Soul. Great loss in 2009. He passed away from cancer, having had just survived an accident. He drives us, what do you call them, scooters, I guess? Got whacked by a car. And anyway, that was really sad, but it was a heck of a show. Rain Maida and Chantal Kreviazik were there, and a bunch of other artists, of course, Nelly Furtado and Dan Hill. And anyway, she's going to tell us about that. Sari from Audio Blood, you're going to that show on Saturday, right?
I am.
And so she's going to tell us all about that. In fact, we started with the Balconies. That's going to be one of the bands. And on deck, we've got Oh No Forest Fires, a song, I like this. It's not any fun unless someone loses an eye. Nice title, eh?
Lovely.
Okay, but first, our Winnipeg band. What do we got?
All right, well, originally formed in 2001, the Paperbacks have operated from their home base in Winnipeg, Manitoba, as you said. They've spent the past 8 years gathering a dedicated following and building up an impressive catalog of songs and accomplishments. After four releases, several members left to pursue other opportunities, as it often happens, leaving two of the founding members, Doug McLean and Jarrett McNabb, to carry on the music. So, for a while, the band had a rotating cast until 2008, when current band members Corey Billick, Kevin Andrichuk, and Kevin McLean became full-fledged members of the Paperbacks. So, with a solid and talented crew, the Paperbacks worked the whole year through to create what became a 32-song double CD set, Lit From Within. Produced by McNabb in his home studio, this album is set to release in January of 2010, and a tour is in the works, from what I hear.
John K. Sampson has produced these guys, too, and so that should be something. And a double CD, that's kind of against the trend, isn't it? Blue Rodeo just put out a double CD, too. Hasn't it become a singles market? Why are people doing this?
Well, I think they're sort of going against the trend, as a lot of indie artists like to do, and rather than offering one song, they'll just offer as many songs as humanly possible, and hope that goes over well.
If you're lost to me before I can be lost to you, I will alter each inscription knitted to my flesh to prove transience of self against the smooth scaffolds of time and the thin membranes that separate the dead from the alive. Geometric pattern shadow sections of my vectors that we travel in from hospital to bar, or how we trace those same lines while we're propped up drunkenly, like an isosceles triangle, the base shifting as we wave, face and cheer. Memorate these moments with regrettable tattoos.
scars from surgeries. My blood thinners acted to increase the potency of wine. I got insignias of bands who sucked since 1989. Face a jury. We'll be right back.
from Audio Blood, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
Sorry, you're all over the music world in this country. You write, you manage some artists. I think you have, is Audio Blood an artist management company or a label? What?
It's a publicity and marketing company mainly. Mm-hmm. We do different contracts, but we're kind of building it out and expanding so that we can offer artists a lot more. And so we're just kind of branding it as an artist development company, and we manage one band, The Balconies. Mm-hmm. And then we work with a number of bands, helping them with marketing and publicity and booking, and so yeah, we do take on the role of management, like of management in most cases, with like while leaving that door open, kind of.
And how did you get into journalism?
Journalism was my first way of stumbling into the music industry.
Stumbling.
I didn't really know what I was getting into. I obviously watched Almost Famous, and I was like, "That's me. I'm going to be a music journalist when I grow up." So I started writing at a really young age for, like, online magazines and reviewing albums and interviewing as many bands as I possibly could. And then I started Audio Blood as a magazine initially.
That's audioblood.com. Right. I remember it.
I know.
I
you were one of the first supporters. It's crazy that it was so long ago.
Yeah.
But things have really come a far way. But, yeah, I kind of moved out of the writing world
back
slowly.
Back then we were explaining what a podcast was.
Yeah, that was crazy. You were ahead of the game. You were in the future. Online radio, what? That's cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, you probably did it for the same reason I did it. You just felt things aren't quite right, and what are you going to do, complain about it or do something about it?
Yeah, I'm not the type that likes to sit around and wait for things to happen. I tend to make opportunities. I'm kind of, it's almost like my weakness as well, because I don't know how to say no, and I take on way too much, and I drive myself crazy, and I come up with ideas that I can't like let go of until I put them into place.
Some people say to me, "Oh, you're so dedicated," but I don't think that really hits the nail on the head. It's more like an obsessive compulsive behavior than you know, a work ethic.
Totally. You definitely have to be obsessed. Like, that is definitely a requirement. If not, then this would be way too painful, you know? It's just, like, long hours and dealing with complicated situations and getting yourself out of situations and getting yourself into situations. And it's just all this, like, ridiculous amounts of work.
So would you say you just can't make it in the music business if you're, you know, sort of a nice girl or a nice boy from a nice home? You have to have some damage to fit in?
Yeah, I mean, something that I've always kind of thought, and I don't know if I fully believe in this yet, but it's like being nice doesn't get you very far. I mean, it's definitely key, but what will get you far is being ballsy and taking chances and sometimes not being nice, you know?
Yeah.
I read a lot of old music criticism, and I think that if I ever am to feel an album is not great, I will point it out in a respectful way.
Yeah.
So I always kind of think with that side of things, because I work with bands too, and I get bad reviews of their albums too, and if they're poorly written, you're just like, oh, this writer has no idea what they're talking about. They don't even know, you know. But if it's well written and it's well said, you can like, okay, you know what, point taken. They have a good point. That's a good way to. A different way to look at things, you know. So I kind of am careful when I write that I'm, you know, if I'm gonna bash something, there's a reason, and I can state it clearly. So
you really outed yourself as a nerd, though. That the first thing you notice when you read another review is how well it's written, not the content or the message, but the medium.
Definitely, that's it. I honestly don't. I read magazines all the time. I don't read them because I'm looking to find out like what's hot and what band I should be listening to. I love writing, and I love writing about music, and I love people who can do that well. So there's a few like handful of writers that I follow in Canada and in North America that I really like, and you know, maybe some ways through that I'll find bands I like as well. But I'm actually just a really big fan of writing.
Well,
music writing, so.
Just to put you on the spot, because that's what I like to do, just let's do a shout-out to, you know, one or two music journalists that have inspired you, and tell me why.
All right. Well, Well, I mean, can we talk about, on one hand, there's ones that have passed away, and like Lester Bangs was a big one for me when I was younger.
Wow.
I read him constantly, and I was like, I want to be like that, but not that crazy.
Yeah.
But as far as Canadian writers go, like a lot of the people that I follow now that I constantly will check out their reviews, or if I see they wrote something and exclaim, I'll be like, yeah, like I'll read that. Sam Sutherland is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. He's really into it and really good at describing stuff and gets really, you can tell he's pretty passionate about it. And Cam Lindsay, who's now at Much Music.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of similar tastes and writing styles and stuff.
Can you tell us a little bit about Third Estate's Jingle Bell Rock Fest? Now, not everyone who's listening will actually hear this before it happens, and certainly not everyone who listens will even be in Canada. Talk about, and we'll encourage the people who are here to come out, because it looks like a great lineup to me. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the bands that are playing and what it's all about.
Sure. Well, it's Audio Blood and Third Estate's Jingle Bell Rock. We did one last year as well with Hey Rosetta, actually. So this year, it's four bands. They're all on the Audio Blood roster, and I've been working with them really hard this year. Last year, we did our Jingle Bell Rock show at Rancho Relaxo, which is a capacity of about 100 people or less, and this year we've upsized to the Horseshoe, and the bands have kind of grown in that fashion as well, so, and the Horseshoe is around like 400, 500, so
Horseshoe, it's the Horseshoe on a Saturday night. I mean, you really need to be able to deliver.
Yeah, well, the bands we have involved are great, and I support them hugely. Ono Four Stars are headlining. They have had a really cool year. They did really well on the CBC 3 charts. They went out east for Halifax Pop and a bunch of festivals out there. They've played a bunch with like Hey Rosetta and some great bands. So they're just a crazy live band as well. They really go nuts. They're kind of like a noisy post-rock band, like in the same vein as Moaning or Cursive. But with these big like pop anthem songs. It's really cool. On before them is the band Make Your Exit. They're a Toronto band, and they're relatively new for me. I started working with them midway through the year. They put out their second EP called Remind Me the Reason I Came, and it's terrific. Probably one of the best EPs I've heard this year, even though that's totally biased. It's incredible, and I'm really excited for them. They had a CD release at Sneaky D's, and they sold it out with like a big lineup down the street, so I was like, yeah, guys, you've earned yourselves a spot on the Christmas show.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a great night.
Yeah.
And then the second band is Clothes Make the Man, who have been around for quite a while, and they are killer, killer rock and roll band. And they've played Edgefest this year. They played all the festivals. They've played with Moaning, Attack and Black, Arkells. Like, they've been everywhere across Canada. And they are going to be releasing their new album next year, which is produced by Julius Buddy, who's done Alexis on Fire and Dallas Green Records. And I'm really excited for them. I think that next year is going to be a really big year for them. So they put on a killer show, too. So I keep gushing. I should stop gushing about all the bands because I just love them so much.
Speaking of Clothes Make the Man, just when you think all of the good band names are gone, someone comes up with something like that, eh?
Yeah. They've been together for about 5 years, actually. And it's a funny name. It kind of suits them. They have this one promo picture where they are all wearing dresses and like, and are drinking beer. It's really funny. And then the opening band is The Balconies, and they are originally from Ottawa, but they recently relocated to Toronto.
Yeah.
And they are killer. It's kind of started out as a side project from Jackie from Jet Planes of Abraham and Liam from For the Mathematics, both Ottawa bands. And it kind of took over, so it's not a side project anymore. And I think they released their debut in September, and I think things are going to get really busy for them in the new year. So.
Well, I was introduced to them by IndieCan's Jen Martin, who's also from Ottawa, relocated to Toronto, too.
Very cool.
And, they're pretty exciting.
All the info is online at audioblood.com. All of our email addresses, like we're always here to help out bands and help out and be a part of events and stuff like that. So definitely get in touch if you're in the music industry and want to chat.
This has been a blast. Can we do it on a regular basis? This is fun.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Your passion for music is infectious, and I think it's important for IndieCan fans to suck up some of your energy, because I'm kind of deadpan.
That's true.
That's not true at all. Okay, I have a quiet enthusiasm. That's what we'll call it.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well.
It's cool that, you know, people kind of take notice.
You know, we're all in this together, and I know you're out there, and, you know, I remember you from your early days and just watching your career sort of, you know, bounce like a pinball, and it's just wonderful to see, that's for sure. So let's pick a band and pick a song, and let's share it with our listeners.
Cool. This is a song that's not yet released. It's from Clothes Make the Man. It's coming out on their 2010 album called Distance.
Okay, here we go. Clothes Make the Man.
safe to call you my best friend. Until you backstab me, I've got your back, tell them. And when you finally decide to resolve our dispute, thank you.
That's the Parkas. Gabby's still here. She just read their bio. Now, in your own words, this, what's the album called?
The album is called You Should Have Killed Us When You Had the Chance.
And if you really like this band, too bad. It's their final of three albums, but there should be a tour. How did you like the bio?
It was pretty good. There were a few catchy lines in there, like, rather than cry in their beer, the band has decided to celebrate their time together. How lovely.
Now, I kind of picked a cry in your beer song, so maybe next week I'll play a more upbeat song. I picked a song called Lie to Me because I'm going to play some David Rotundo. He's actually alive and well and keeping making music and looking to make... I think they're planning next year to get more sponsorship deals and all that sort of thing, but... which is a good idea. More indie bands are doing that. And before the Parkas, I don't know if you'd heard that before, but that was Nathaniel Sutton from Edmonton. You ever been to Edmonton?
I have been to Edmonton on my 18th birthday. It was quite the trip. That's all I can say about that.
Anything more would be incriminating?
Yes.
We'll keep it off the record. Okay. So we've got some David Rotundo, and then we're going to be listening to Mary give us a little recap on the tribute for Hayden Neal. And I think I'm going to close with, how about Make Your Exit? I think that would be timely, right? You're going to see them on Saturday, and we're going to close with them, and they're called Make Your Exit. Pretty cool, eh?
I think it's a perfect way to end the episode.
Thank you. Toronto, Mary, and we are listening to IndyCan Radio.
Mary, you were at a very special event at the Phoenix Concert Theater tonight. Can you tell us about it?
It was a very touching and poignant celebration of the life for Hayden Neal, who recently passed away.
Would you like to sing a Jack Soul song for us?
No, thank you. I think I'll save that for another day.
Okay, that's too bad. That would have been a nice tribute. Hayden, I mean, other than being like a Juno winner and a great ambassador of Canadian music, he was, I don't know if this was mentioned, but a director for the Songwriters Association of Canada, and he did a lot of work helping emerging artists hone their songwriting skills, and he was very generous with his knowledge and his time. Who all performed there?
Wow, so many people. Let's see, Nelly Furtado, Jim Cuddy was there.
Yeah.
And he was just amazing, as usual.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
He ended up actually standing right beside me, which was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
And let's see, Chaos was there.
Yeah.
And Justin Nozuka.
Yeah.
Divine Brown, Ivana Santilli, and Wade O'Brown, and also Dan Hill.
You're saving your favorite singer-songwriter for last, are you?
I am. I just love Dan Hill. And, special moment of the night, his wife was kind enough after I found out that he was actually performing that she received a phone call from him and passed her cell phone to me after finding out I was such a huge fan and allowing me to speak with him for a few minutes and sort of let him know how much I have appreciated his music over so many years.
Well, there's been so many, right? People wouldn't even know how many Dan Hill songs they know because so many different performers have sung his songs.
Completely, you know? 100%.
Should we have him on our show as an industry insider to talk
Most
about songwriting?
Definitely.
Or even his wife is like an entertainment lawyer, right?
Most definitely.
Okay. You want to do that interview?
I'll leave that to you.
Okay.
Give me another year.
Okay, for sure. You get warmed up. Well, thanks for giving us a recap.
A huge loss for the music community.
And I guess people can still go to the Jack Soul website if they want to find more information, because there's a foundation, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so that if they are moved and they want to, you know, donate or what have you, or just find out more about the legacy of Hayden Neal, that'd be the place to go. Thanks a million. I know it's late at night, but thanks for chatting with us, and we'll see you real soon, Mary.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Okay.
is Sherry Delmar from Audio Blood, and we're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Lucky us, time for one more. We're going out with the Parkas. This is Isolation Pay.
Show, visit IndieCan.com.